This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, my time with the Lord is precious to me, and I want to help you fall in love with this important and enjoyable time of your day. My new devotional, Quiet Times with God, gives you daily encouragement with Scripture and a power thought for you to meditate on throughout the day. So get your copy of this new devotional and begin growing spiritually by spending time with God.
Go to joycemeyer.org right now and request Quiet Times with God, or call us at 1-800-727-9673.
Anybody, if you're going to be faithful to anything, there's going to be times in your life when you are just going to want to rip your hair out and scream, "I cannot do this one more time." And that's when you do a little turnaround and you say, "God, but I will do it with and for you." There is a way that you can make ordinary, everyday life extremely extraordinary. And that is when you learn how to do life with God. Now, that's the title of my message today, which is not hard, but what I'm going to share with you today was probably one of the most profound things that ever happened to me in my spiritual walk. I just realized I didn't finish the story about Mike, so I'll go back and finish it. This morning, I realized I didn't finish a story I started last night. Mike became so serious as a Christian. And one night he was sound asleep, and Penny woke him up and said, "Mike, Mike, are you ever going to make me laugh again?" And he said, "Why? What are you talking about? First, he didn't get it. Then about a week later, his mother called him and said, "Mike, are we ever going to talk about sports again?" See, when he became a serious Christian, he forgot about everything else in life except just doing something that he thought was spiritual. And I remember going through the same thing, where I actually felt guilty just doing anything ordinary. And even when I was doing ordinary things, I didn't enjoy them. I just wanted to rush through them and get them over with so I could do something that I thought was spiritual. You know why? Because I felt that I was more pleasing to God. Come on now, you're going to get this today. I felt that I was more pleasing to God if I was praying or studying the Bible or going to church than I could have been if I was watching TV or sweeping the floor. Do you know that lighting a candle in a church is no more sacred than lighting the candles on your 2-year-old's birthday cake? If you're doing it with and for God. Now, I don't care what kind of a life you have, you're never going to really enjoy your life because God won't let you if you try to do it apart from Him. The way to bring enthusiasm into every ordinary day is to learn Colossians 3, not just as a scripture, but something we put into practice in our life. Do everything in the name of Jesus, in dependence upon His person, giving praise and glory to Him. Everything that we do. I hope that I can convey to you in the little bit of time that I have this morning how life-changing this was for me. When I stopped dividing the sacred from the secular, and I realized that everything became sacred if I did it with and for God. Come on, you're going to like this today. This is going to help you. God didn't meet with Moses in a temple. He met with him at a bush. Come on. A bush. And when God showed up in the bush, the ground became holy. So everything that we do, if we do it with and for God, it becomes holy. Woo! Everything we do. You know, yes, I like looking good, but one of the reasons why I exercise and walk 5 miles a day, I'm doing it for God, because he told me 12 years ago, if you don't start taking better care of yourself, you are not going to be strong for the last 30-year journey. And I want to finish what God has called me to do. So I know that I, in order to do what I'm doing at my age, I have to do that. And so it is something that I'm doing for God. Therefore, even though it's hard, I can actually tell you I enjoy it. Because I do a lot of my praying while I'm walking, and I talk to God while I'm walking. And we got to understand that God's not stuck in a church somewhere. He's everywhere. And God, now listen to this, God is never more than one thought away from you. Did you hear that? God is never more than one thought away from you. He's here all the time, but you can bring him right into your awareness just by thinking about him. We even overly spiritualize prayer. Prayer is just having a conversation with God. We don't have to become like a different person now because we're praying, oh, most holy thou. Get out of here. God don't want to hear that. Just act like who you are. It's me again, Lord. And prayer doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be eloquent. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, we can actually do that. We can pray our way through the day. Thank you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. God, help me with this. You're awesome, Lord. You're wonderful. For so many years, even as a woman who loved God, he was just this little spiritual part of my life. He lived in a little Sunday morning box. And the rest of the week, I tried to do life on my own. And I only called on him when I had a crisis. I only called on him when I thought I was over my head. Well, you see, I've learned that I'm always over my head. I mean, I am so far over my head, you have no idea how much trouble I would be in if God didn't help me. Amen. Amen. People talk about, you know, well, go deep. Well, you know what I figured out? When you're over your head, doesn't matter how deep you go, because you're still dead if God don't help you. And so I had God in this little Sunday morning box, and I didn't know any better. Nobody was teaching me any better. And back in the 70s, when God really touched my life during the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was taking place at that time, and by the way, you don't have to wait for some special outpouring. You can have more of God anytime you want to. Anybody can be as close to God as they want to. It all depends on how much time you're willing to put into it. Yes? I said, anybody can be as close to God as they want to. It all depends on how much time you're willing to put into it. Anybody can make an adjustment here today and say, from now on, God, you're going to be first in my life. You're not going to be second. You're not going to be third. You're not going to be after my job, after this, after that. You're going to be first. And I don't care what else has to be cut out. You're going to be first. God is before my ministry in my life. He's before everything else. And the more I learn that, the happier I get. Relationship with God is not supposed to be a burden. It's supposed to be a lot of fun, joyful. And I'll tell you something that has happened to me over the 40 years that I've been serving God. And if you're not here, I pray that something I say today will help you get there. I am just really comfortable with God. I mean, I'm just comfortable with the Lord. I don't feel like I have to pretend. I don't feel like I have to put on airs. I don't feel like I have to try to impress him. God has taught me, Joyce, I knew what I was getting when I got you. And there is nothing that you do that will shock me. Because I already knew every wrong thing you were going to do before you ever did it. I know every word in your mouth that you have not yet spoken. And I know every thought that you have not yet let drift through your mind. And I love you anyway. Amen. And I felt like God told me a while back, I was trying to change something. He said, you know, I like you just the way you are. You see, you don't know what to do with that. One man over here went. Yeah, he likes you just the way you are. I didn't say he likes all the stuff we do that's wrong, but he likes you. There is a difference. You got to separate your who from your do. I am a child of God. I don't always do everything right, but I've got some good news for you. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Woo! And I'm going to celebrate my progress because it makes the devil mad when you celebrate. I don't know if you know it or not, but God likes a party. I mean, you go read the Old Testament. They were commanded to have parties. It was not an option. And they had long parties, week-long parties, several-day parties. I mean, they party. And I love the story about what we call the prodigal son, but really that story is just as much, if not more so, about the elder brother. And the elder brother was a religious guy. He didn't know how to enjoy life. When the son came back, the father was so overwhelmed and so full of joy that the first thing he wanted to do was have a party. And I love this. Don't miss what I'm going to say. The elder brother refused to go in. He stayed outside and had a bad attitude. But you know what I noticed? That didn't keep God from throwing the party. And here's the thing I want you to know. God's got a party going on. And even if you don't want to come, there is a party going on, and I've decided to go to mine. I'm going to the party. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy my husband. I'm going to enjoy my kids. Jesus came that we might have and enjoy our lives and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Come on, if you want to make the devil mad, just get happy. Just get happy. You say, well, how can I be happy with all these problems? Well, you better learn some way to get happy with problems because you're likely to have some all your life. Seriously. Oh, we are so stinking religious. Can't listen to a song if it's not a Christian song. Now, I don't want to get myself in trouble here today, but obviously, I am in no way, shape, or form suggesting that we even begin to think that we can participate in things that are not clean or proper. But everything that we do doesn't have to have a so-called Christian label on it. Yeah, good. I got one person over here with a tiny clap. There's a party going on. God wants us to enjoy life, but you got to stop dividing what you think is sacred from what you think is secular and realize that all of life is to be done with and for God. And if you can't do it with and for God, then that's a clue. Don't do it. Amen. Listen, I have no trouble at all knowing when to turn a television show off. That doesn't mean that sometimes I don't hang on to them a little longer than I should because I want to see the end. I know we're just like you, but I'm just saying that we know. We know right from wrong. We do not have to be afraid of liberty. We do not have to have all these legalistic rules and regulations for following God. We are led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I know when I need to shut my mouth because I'm gossiping and God doesn't like it. I know when I'm saying something about somebody that I shouldn't say. We know when we're doing something that's wrong. Let me just give you a few things I got on my list here. Common things are sanctified when they're done with and for God. What does it mean when something is sanctified? Now, I don't have it here, but I got this really pretty crystal glass that we carry on the road with us for our conferences. And, you know, kind of so to speak, that glass is sanctified because that's my glass. It's for my water. And that's what we use it for. Now, we're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We are set apart and made holy for God's use. And God uses ordinary things, common ordinary things, just like he met with Moses at that bush, but the ground the bush was on became holy because God showed up. You have to think about this for a while after you go home. Common things that can become sanctified when they're done with and for God. Grocery shopping. Household chores, cleaning house. Exercising, driving in traffic. Going to the same job. One more day. Stay in one more hotel. Study for one more message so I can preach to one more group of people. Come on, it doesn't matter what it is. Anybody, if you're going to be faithful to anything, there's going to be times in your life when you are just going to want to rip your hair out and scream, I cannot do this one more time. And that's when you do a little turnaround and you say, God, but I will do it with and for you. Now let's talk for a minute about motive. Boy, our motives make such a big difference. Such a big difference. You know, I even look at getting, when I get dressed in the morning, I look at it like, I don't want to look good just for the sake of looking good. I represent God. So, I want things to look nice. I want my clothes to not look like they sat in the dryer all night and I just pulled them out and put them on, because we represent God everywhere that we go. I mean, I see some people and I think, do you not have one mirror in your house? What is your problem? Well, we should do our best for God because we are his representatives in the earth. So even in things like that, if we do it with and for God, it takes on a whole different thing. I remember when I learned to go to the grocery store with God. Talk to God in the grocery store. Some of the most exciting times in my life was when I was young and just newly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And some of this stuff may sound silly to you, but I don't care as long as you get it. I remember when I, right after I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit and I was bowling one night and I wasn't bowling good, and God said, ask me to help you. I thought, I'm not going to pray about my bowling. Because see, I didn't think God cared about that. Are you here? I didn't think God cared about anything ordinary. It had to be something spiritual. And so sure enough, I prayed and asked God to help me, and I started bowling better. I remember another time when I was fixing my hair, and I had one little piece of hair that I could not get to go in place, and I was so mad I was ready to just beat myself in the head with a hairbrush. That's the way I used to handle stuff. And the Lord just impressed my heart, asked me to help you with your hair. Well, I gotta pray about my hair. See, God, listen to me, please. Don't make me come down there and get you. Everybody listen. God cares about everything you do. And get this, He wants to be involved. He wants to go to the grocery store with you. He wants to clean house with you. He wants to help change the oil in your car. He wants to walk with you when you cut your grass. He wants to drive with you in traffic. He wants to do blue sky with you in green grass. Are you there? I love the Amplified Bible where it says that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be in close fellowship with us. The Amplified uses that term several times, close fellowship with us. Jesus didn't die so we could all have a religion. He died so we could have a personal relationship with Him through Christ, through Him, with God, a personal relationship with God through Him. And He sent the Holy Spirit. How much closer can you get than in you? God is as close to us as our breath. And we don't have to do anything without Him. All the chores of daily life can be sanctified and made sacred when we do life with God. I love that phrase. God gave me that, doing life with God. You say, what are you doing, Joyce? I'm doing life with God. Monday's not much different than Tuesday. Tuesday's not much different than Wednesday. All days are sacred to me. I mean, God had to go at me a number of times before I finally swallowed this. Because we just have such a wrong mindset about what God expects out of us. And you know what religion is? Religion is what we think God expects out of us instead of us looking at what He's done for us. Religion is me trying to get to God, where it's really all about relationship. Okay. A Christian bookstore is no more sacred than a financial planning business. A call to the mission field is no more sacred than a call to be a stay-at-home mom. Come on, mamas, I'm going to try to help you today. Your call to raise your kids is just as holy as my call to preach the gospel. And if you want to know the truth, the thoughts of staying home with five kids all day scares the living daylights out of me. I'd much rather be up here. I look back and I wonder, with my half brain that I had back then, how did I ever raise four kids? And we lived in three rooms, a little three-room apartment, had one car, no money. It's a wonder that I wasn't committed somewhere. God gives all of us the grace to do what we're supposed to do at the time we're supposed to do it. Now listen, don't ever say, I'm just an anything. If you're a janitor, you're just as holy as the pastor. Dodie said to me, do you ever get nervous up there? I said, nah. I'm not nervous. You know why? Because this is where I'm supposed to be. Now, I'll tell you what, though. I've got 11 grandkids, and if my kids all brought them over one day and said, can you watch all the kids where we go somewhere, I'd be nervous. Oh, yeah, when I was looking for what my place was in ministry, I tried working in the nursery because I was willing to do anything for God, and that lasted about 2 weeks, and the kids knew I wasn't called, and I did too. I tried a lot of different stuff that didn't work, but man, when I started talking, woo, I found my slot. Just let me talk, and I'm good. Don't ever belittle little things. Well, I'm just this, or I'm just that. Nobody's just anything. You're in Christ. We have worth and value not because of what we do, but because Jesus died for us. Amen. And we who think we're doing important things need to make sure that we don't look down on. Because we're no better than anybody else. Anything that we are that in Christ, or we're nothing at all. You know, the Word of God amazes me. It's like you can read something and read it and read it and read it and read it. I've been studying the Word for 40 years, and I read this scripture again last week, and I just saw something out of it that I really hadn't gotten before. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. Okay, so I am on a journey to form a new habit. If you want to join me, you can. Farming habits take time. Every day you don't succeed, but if you just keep at it, you will form a new habit. So I'm taking this literally, and I've started everything I do. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get dressed now. I do this in your name, and I'm depending on you. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go preach 3 services at Lakewood this weekend. Now, I go in your name, and I go depending on you, and I give praise to God. Now, listen to me for just a minute. It is so good to actually take a moment to verbalize things like that. When we take a moment to verbalize something, it's even better than just thinking it, I think. Because you hear it, and it helps you get it. I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. I'm going to eat this meal in Jesus' name, and I'm depending on you, God, to help me not eat more than I need to eat. Or I'm depending on you to help me make right choices. I'm depending on you. Come on, is somebody there? God, I'm going to go get on this treadmill, and I've got 5 miles, Lord. I do it in your name and depending on you. Start bringing God into everything that you do, and don't just think he's only interested in Sunday morning and Bible study. God, I'll tell you what God is interested in, you. That's what he's interested in. Do everything. Our motive is not what we do, it's why we do what we do. And that's what's important to God. And I enjoy ministry so much more now. I'm so comfortable, and I love God, and I like myself, and you know, I don't care what you think about that, but I just like myself. You know? I spent enough years hating myself. I'm done with all that. Amen. I mean, I'm the only me I've got, so I've tried to be a lot of other people, and I finally figured out they're all taken. God's not going to let me be somebody else. I got to be me. I tried to be my neighbor, my pastor's wife, and all kinds of stuff, and I finally just figured out I'm stuck with me, so let's enjoy it. Because everywhere I go, I'm there. You ever notice you never get away from, you can't even go to the bathroom without you. You are everywhere. So you need to like yourself. So I've decided to like myself. All this stuff really makes the devil mad because he wants us to be miserable. And I'm trying to tell you some things that will help you not to be miserable. I'm trying to tell you some things that can actually help you enjoy God and enjoy yourself and enjoy blue sky and green grass. But see, my motive is if I clean my home because I love God and I want to take care of what he's given me, now my motive becomes different. And when my motive is right, then God can dump joy all over me. Anyway, when I first started in ministry, I'm just going to have to be honest and tell you, I was called, but my motives weren't right. I wanted to have a big ministry because I wanted to feel important, because I had never really felt important because my parents never made me feel important. And if you want to know the truth, I think everybody kind of starts with a mixture of some of that. And God knows that. He deals with us about all that stuff at the right time. But you know one of the benefits of getting older? I'll tell you what's so good. It's like, I don't care what you think. I mean, see, I can have fun with you. I can have fun with this because I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to finish my race and do what I believe God's called me to do. And I've decided I'm going to have fun with it, whether anybody likes it or not. Amen. We're never free until we stop trying to impress somebody. Why are we so caught up in what people think? They're going to think something anyway. Doesn't matter what you do, they're going to think something. Let them think about you, then they won't be thinking about somebody else. Oh my gosh. Start asking yourself, why am I doing this? Not just what am I doing, but why am I doing it? And if you're really not doing it because you believe it's what God wants you to do, or you're doing it for His glory, then maybe you need to make a change. Maybe it's something you need to not do. But anything that we do with and for God, it becomes a holy and a sacred thing. It's amazing how this little principle changes our life. One of the things that you can do to bring God into your life all throughout the day is just be a little more thankful. And here's the thing. Thank God, not just for big things, but a lot of little things. You know what? Whatever I had, flu, virus, I don't know what it was. I think it was a little bit of all of it. I usually, first of all, if I get something like that, I don't stay sick that long, and I normally don't feel as bad as I felt, and I felt really bad. And in the midst of that, I got to go to Indonesia and be on an airplane 39 hours. Praise the Lord. I have felt good for the last 3 days, and I am so thankful. Oh my gosh, thank you, God, that I feel good. Oh, thank you, God, that I feel good. Now see, some of you feel good every day and you never even think about thanking God for it, because sometimes we just need to not have something for a while to realize what a gift we have in having it. Amen? One of the scriptures that God gave me at the beginning of this year, He reminded me of Nehemiah 8:10, where they had built the wall and everything was great now, and so they were going to celebrate, and God said, eat and drink and enjoy. Send, that's the first thing, enjoy. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. Enjoy your life, help the needy and the poor. And do not weep or mourn, for this day is holy unto the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now listen, every day that God gives us is a holy day unto Him. And one of the best ways, now listen, one of the best ways that we can celebrate and be thankful for what God's given us is to just enjoy every little thing that we do. And we can do it if we do it with and for God and for His glory. Amen. Woo! Amen. Come on, the party's on. God loves a party. Well, ordinary life can become extraordinary when we learn to do everything with and for God. Today, Ginger's with me, and we're answering your questions about how to overcome the struggles we face by bringing God into every area of our lives. Well, Ginger, I'm sure that there's people watching that have got a lot going on in their life that would
Absolutely.
Like to have some answers.
Yeah, and this is such a great topic because really letting God into every single area of our lives is what makes the difference. But it's not always as easy as it sounds, as just open the door and let him in. So we have some great questions. This is from Kelly from Evansville, Indiana. I'm in a slump. No job, no relationship, no purpose. Feeling like a waste of life. I keep praying for rejuvenation, but I feel like God is not listening. How do I let him in?
Well, first of all, I think that when people are hurting, they sometimes have a tendency to withdraw. Mm. And that's the last thing you ever want to do concerning your relationship with God.
Yeah.
So letting God into an area is really just as simple as beginning to talk to him about it openly as a friend and telling him how you're hurting. You know I was abused sexually by my dad, and I didn't tell anybody that for a long, long time. And it really was an area that I just basically ignored. And at least I thought I was ignoring it. I really, really wasn't.
Yeah.
And when I first began to really talk to God about that honestly and openly and asking him to heal me, it actually hurt because I had just been closed up in that area for so long. And so I always say that God can heal us everywhere we hurt, but the Bible also says we have not because we ask not. So, you know, yes, you're going to ask God to deliver you to make your circumstance better. But how about asking God to strengthen you while you're in the situation, or to comfort you while you're in the situation? You know, we don't always get to go through difficulties really, really fast. Sometimes they take time. And so pretty much I think that's, you know, a lot of times people, they don't realize that God is their friend as well as their God, and he's majestic and the creator of all things and, you know, is to be reverenced. But he's also our friend. He calls us friend, and we need to go to him as our Lord and Master, but also as a good friend who cares about everything in our lives.
Right. So, like for Kelly, who says, I'm in a slump.
Mm-hmm.
You said it hurt when you first started. It
right.
sounds like she's feeling like God's just not hearing. Essentially, it's keep pushing through, don't give up.
Well, and also, you know, the Word of God comforts us. You know, when you go, I mean, you can go and read the 23rd Psalm, and how could that not comfort you? The Word has power in it, and I don't know that people always realize that. You know, it's like if you feel like you're in a slump, then ask God to help you, but also help yourself. Stir yourself up by remembering the great and mighty things that God has done in your life. Don't just think about the situation you're in right now, but think about the good things that God has done in the past, knowing that if he did it once, he can do it again.
Yeah.
She will get through this, but right now, it's difficult, and she can ask God to use that pain to her gain and to help to teach her and to make her stronger.
Yeah, great. This is from Christy from Bay City, Michigan. I've been isolating myself from so many family members due to politics. It hurts because this shouldn't be happening. What can I do to help bring us back together?
Well, so many people argue over things that there's just no point.
Yeah,
in arguing about,
and the thing now, right?
I understand how she feels because I'm pretty tired.
Yeah,
hearing it myself, it's just like so many people are just cranky and crabby and want to talk about nothing but negative things. And so, you know, if she's wanting to have a relationship with them, maybe the best thing to do is just first of all pray for God to show you the right timing, and pray for God to soften their hearts. And then just be really honest with them and just say, you know, I'm assuming they don't agree. So just say, look, we don't agree, but let's agree to disagree agreeably.
I don't want to lose relationship with you, but can we just not talk about this when we're together and find a place where we agree and talk about that? And, of course, just keep it before God and pray. And she can do her part, but she can't do their part. Yeah. And so if they won't do it any other way, then she'll just have to leave it to God and going about her business until they see that there's no point in arguing.
Yeah, until God breaks through in some way.
Right, yeah. Once again, not every problem gets solved immediately. And these kinds of situations stretch our faith, is one of the way that people put it. Or we might say, they make us use our faith, which the more you use your faith, the stronger it becomes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Andy's asking this question. How do you remain in the Word when it seems like even prayer itself becomes a mundane task and it just doesn't seem like it's working for you?
Well, you just come up with all kinds of hard questions.
It's Andy's fault.
It's Andy's fault.
No, these are good questions. Well, they're hard ones.
I think the key that I heard you say is feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, when you feel like God is not answering.
Yeah.
So here again, we walk not by sight, but by faith, or you might as well say we walk not by feelings. You know, Ginger, if I was thinking yesterday, I was praying for somebody, just praying that they would stop walking by how they feel.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you might as well write destroyed across your life.
Mm.
Because your feelings are fickle, which means they're ever-changing. And you never know when the right ones are going to show up and when the right ones are going to go away. You know, it's like they're there when you, they disappear when you need them, and they're, the bad ones are there when you don't need them. And so if he can take the feel mm-hmm. out of the equation, and I do things like, you know, when if I feel like God's not hearing me, I know that's not true because the Bible says over and over and over
right.
that He knows everything we're going to say before we even say it.
Yeah.
So, of course, He hears us.
But we've all felt that way at different times.
We've all felt that way. But, you know, trusting God in every area of your life, even if you're going through a dry spell with God, is what they call it, where you don't feel His presence, you don't enjoy reading the Bible, you still tell God. Tell Him.
Yeah.
You know, right now I don't even like doing this, but I'm going to do it.
It's because, okay to say that?
Yeah, sure. You can be honest with God. He knows it anyway. It's like, who do we think we're keeping us? You can't keep secrets from God.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't. There's no point in like, I don't want to tell God this because
right.
He already knows it. But to be honest, what I have found is if you verbalize those things to God, it helps break the power of them off of you, because anything hidden in the darkness has power over us, but when we bring it out into the light, like I remember one time where I was having trouble being jealous of someone. Well, that embarrassed me. I didn't want to tell anybody I felt jealous, but I kept feeling like God was prompting me to tell Dave that I was jealous and ask him to pray for me. Well, it was a hard thing to do. I'm a Bible teacher. I'm not supposed to be jealous of people. I'm supposed to be happy when they're blessed. And so I did tell him, and you know, it broke the power of that.
Hmm.
So hiding things, especially from God, is just foolish. Tell Him exactly how you feel, but continue to do what you should do. Because when you do what's right, even when you feel wrong, that's when you're growing spiritually. When you do what's right because you feel like doing it, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because you've already grown spiritually in that area. So I want to say it again. When you do what's right, even when you don't feel like it, that's when you're growing spiritually.
Yeah. I want to just ask you one final thing as we close this out, because when you talk about bringing God into every aspect of your life, I can combine many, many of these questions, because they're asking about really painful, difficult things that they're going through. How do I let God in when I've been abused? How do I let God in when I'm in chronic pain, when I've lost a child?
Right.
So What do you encourage people to do during those times when they're so hurt and so broken, they don't even know how to open the door to God?
Well, like I've said before, and the answer doesn't get any different, you talk openly to God about it. You know, sometimes we'll let God into certain areas of our life. This is a little different than what you ask, but maybe someone doesn't let him into their entertainment area of life. They want to just do what they want to do and watch what they want to watch and listen to what they want to listen to. But sometimes we're afraid to let God in because we're afraid of what he's going to say. Now, obviously, these people that are in pain or have had a loss, that's not their situation. I'm just making the point that we do tend to close God out of areas. And I do think maybe the loss of a child, that can be so devastating and so hard to understand that you have to be careful that you don't get a little bit mad at God because you don't really understand. And of course, the devil's going to lie. He's going to tell you, well, if God really loved you, then he wouldn't let you be in this kind of chronic pain. If God really loved you, then he would have protected you in this situation. And that's when you have to say, devil, you're a liar. I don't understand why this is happening. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel fair. I don't like it. I hate it, but I trust God to work all things out for good. Talk to God about your feelings, but don't live by your feelings. God is the God of all comfort. And don't just take that for granted and assume he will comfort you, but ask him to comfort you in that situation.
He is the only hope in those situations.
He is. We don't want to cut him out. Well, we're offering you a devotional, Quiet Times with God. And also, we're offering you with it a prayer journal. And I believe that you can read the devotions on Quiet Times with God. When you spend quiet time with God and you talk to him and you let him into areas of your life, many times you will hear something from him right then and you can write it down. You may not hear from him until a while later, but I love to pray. I've got a journal about several things I'm praying about right now, and I've already been able to check off about four of them. And I love that, to not only pray, but to remember that God answers prayer and that he answered this prayer and this one and this one. So that gives me encouragement. He will also answer this one and this one and this one. We love you and we're sorry that you're hurting. I've been in pain myself. I've been abused. I've had chronic pain. I know what it's like and I wish you weren't going through it, but I do know from the Word of God and from experience that God is faithful. So let him help you in the situation you're in right now.
When ordinary life is done with and for God, it can become spectacular.
Anybody can be as close to God as they want to. It all depends on how much time you're willing to put into it.
Today, we're offering resources to help make moments with him a priority. Begin each day with the Quiet Times with God devotional, 365 daily inspirations. In this easy-to-understand devotional, Joyce shares a Bible verse, a short reading, and a power thought to meditate upon. You'll also receive My Prayer Journal, so you can track your prayers and see how he answers them over time.
When the Bible says pray without ceasing, we can actually do that. We can pray our way through the day.
Connect with us today and receive these life-changing tools. For a gift of $30 or more, you're helping share Christ and love people. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
Watch episodes of Enjoying Everyday Life, read daily devotionals, follow a Bible study plan with the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Search Joyce Meyer in your app store and download the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app today.
You want to make a difference. You just need a little bit of help making it happen. Well, we have an outstanding opportunity for you to give hope in a very practical and meaningful way.
Today, you can give a special gift toward a specific cause that's close to your heart. Feeding, clean water, medical and dental, disaster relief, Project Girl, or wherever needed most.
You know, when we talk to you about choosing an area of outreach that you appreciate and you choose food, let me tell you, it is real and it makes a difference, and it's what's happening right here.
Together, we can make a difference and share the love of Jesus all over the world. Just choose your cause and visit us online or call now.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.